All right. If you've got your Bible, go with me to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. I don't know if you guys are aware of the seven I ams of Jesus. The seven I ams of Jesus. And if you know them, on which one are we on today? If you didn't realize, we've been going through the seven I ams of Jesus. And today we are doing the last I am of Jesus. You can go back and check on all the messages that we've been teaching this year. You will see that we've actually been going through the seven I ams of Jesus. I'm very excited that we've managed to cover all of them. And today is the last installment of the I ams of Jesus. John 15 verse 1. Right. The Bible says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bring forth more fruit. Then you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Let me read that verse 4 again. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Very powerful. For without me, you can do nothing. Absolutely zero. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Father, we pray for the preaching of the word this morning. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for understanding. And this morning, we are so expectant. We pray, Father, that you'd speak to us. We pray that you'd reveal to us what's on your heart this morning. Father, I submit myself. I'm not able, Father, to speak any wise words to your people. We depend on you today, Father. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd come and use me to your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are two people in my life that really get me. A lot of people do, but these two really, really get me. These people have a very special place in my heart. And I'm wondering, am I one of those two? The first one is my wife. Each time I'm in a fix, each time I'm discouraged, each time I'm tired, and I go and spend time with her, she has a way of getting me up again. She has a way of strengthening me and encouraging me. And we have a very special relationship. We've known each other for the past 20 years, 21 years in fact. Married, going 18 years this year. My wife, I must say, she's one of those women that is full of wisdom. And she just knows how to refresh me. Right? She just knows how to do it. And I'm very grateful to the Lord for her. The second person that gets me is my pastor. Pastor Paul. This man is God sent because he has a way of drawing the gold out of me. He has a way of speaking into the treasure that's in me. He inspires me. Every time I have coffee with him and he gets me. He corrects. He gives guidance. And I'm very grateful to the Lord for that. Now, I'm sure you all have people in your life that get you. I'm sure you have people in your life that when you are with them, you leave their environment feeling, wow, it was worth it. I can do life again. I really hope you do have somebody like that in your life. Come on now. If you don't have, I pray that the Lord would bless you with somebody that can inspire you. I was telling a couple yesterday and I say to them, you are sons of encouragement because doing life with you has been awesome these past years. Now, why am I talking about this? It brings me to our title this morning. I want to talk about the living fellowship. I want to talk about the living fellowship. This is the ultimate fellowship that you need to have. In as much as my wife gets me, Pastor Paul gets me, and many of you do get me, there is one relationship I need to cultivate that will get me more than anybody else can. Hallelujah. And that relationship and that fellowship is with the Lord Jesus. I can spend as much time as I want with my wife, but she will fall short at some point. Why? Because she's flesh and blood. She will fall short. My pastor will fall short. My friends will fall short. That is why you and I need a living fellowship with the Master. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have a living fellowship with Jesus? For a moment, I want you to think about your walk with Jesus. Whether you've been 3 years in the Lord, 15 years in the Lord, 31 years in the Lord, how is that fellowship with Jesus? You see, the Greek word of fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia, which means holding something in common. When you share common values, you then have fellowship. We are talking about shared beliefs, shared convictions, shared behavior. And I'm saying to you, do you have koinonia with Jesus? Do you have a living relationship with Jesus? And I say, this is another level of fellowship without which no one can thrive in this world as a believer. Without koinonia with Jesus, your life will slowly wilt away. Now, where we've read, this is a story of Jesus in his last week or last few days before he was betrayed by Judas. And scholars believe Jesus was on his way from the place where they had had the Last Supper, and he was on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And on his way to the garden, there were vineyards that lined the path where Jesus was walking. And it's believed that this picture prompted Jesus to go into a conversation with his disciples, which had to do with the way they should relate. So as Jesus was walking down this path that was lined by vineyards on both sides, it prompted him to bring something special into the hearts of the disciples. Now I can picture Jesus slowly walking down and looking intently at a healthy vine. A healthy vine covered with a variety of of branches. I want you to, I don't know if you've been to a winery, if you've been to a vineyard, whereby vines are growing, curling around steel structures. And you can clearly see the stem of this vine. And Jesus looked at one of the vines. And this vine was endowed by branches, some which were very green, some which were a bit brown and wilting. And it prompted him to say to the disciples, I am the true vine. Hallelujah. It prompted him to say, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Other version says, and my Father is the husbandman. You see, every vineyard has a vine dresser, a person responsible for planting the vines, a person responsible for looking after the vineyard to ensure that it is protected from animals, it is protected from pests. Now, in a vineyard, you'll find some vines that are planted by the vine dresser. This is the farmer in our terminology. But you'll also find vines that are naturally growing on the side of the vineyard. If you have a strong rural background, you know that when you have a field of crops, you'll have crops that are tended, that are looked after, but on the edges of the field, you find some wild plants. You'd find some crops that are growing because some seeds would have mistakenly fallen on the soil. And they'll just sprout up and they'll grow. So in a vineyard, you'd find vines that are planted by the vine dresser, but on the edges of the vineyard, you find some wild vines. Now, there's a difference between the vines planted by the vine dresser and the wild vines. The difference is the ones planted by the farmer would be in a place that is well cultivated. The vines planted by the farmer would be in a place where it is well nourished and naturally would look healthy. On the other side, you find some wild vines growing and nobody really cares about them. There's no pruning that takes place on those vines, and there's all sorts of branches shooting off from different directions. Jesus then stood there and distinguished himself. And he said, I am the true vine. You can see the vines on the side of the vineyard. That's not me. I am the true vine. Jesus meant that he was the real and genuine vine that had been intentionally planted by Father God. All the other vines were just doing their own thing. But Jesus was saying, my presence here on earth was determined by Father God. He planted me and I am the true vine. Every branch derives its life from the vine, from the stem. Every branch derives its nourishment from the trunk. I want you to realize that as long as the vine is healthy, every branch that comes out of that vine will be healthy. Because naturally speaking, the true branches that come out of the vine will take out of what's in the vine and they will be nourished. So when Jesus was speaking to the disciples, he was saying to them, that I am the source of real strength. I am the source of real grace. I am the source of joy. I am the source of life. For without me, you can do nothing. I don't know about you this morning. Maybe you've been looking for joy. You've been looking for provision in the wrong places. Jesus says, I am the true vine. I will nourish every branch that comes out of me. You see, the well-being of the disciples of Jesus were derived from their connection with Jesus. And this morning I want you to realize, as long as you have the connection with Jesus, your well-being is guaranteed. Hallelujah. Because the vine is planted in a well-nourished ground. The vine dresser will not just plant the vine in a place where there is nothing in the soil. When the Father planted Jesus on earth, He ensured that Jesus had everything He needed to provide life to His disciples. That is why Jesus would stand and say, "Father, everybody that you gave me, I kept, except the son of perdition, for the fulfillment of scriptures." How is your fellowship with Jesus? You see, in as much as a branch could be coming out of the vine, if the branch is broken off and the connection between the vine and the branch is no longer intact, that branch will struggle. Now, this morning I want to talk about two types of branches. Let's talk about the two types of branches you'll find on the vine. John chapter 15, verse 2. John 15, verse 2. The Lord Jesus says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away." Who? The vine dresser. The vine dresser takes away every branch that does not bear fruit. That is the first type of branch. The second type of branch is everyone that bears fruit, the vine dresser prunes it so that it may bring forth more fruit. I'm going to go one by one. Let's talk about the branch that bears no fruit. The branch that bears no fruit. And this morning, I want to deal with certain myths around this aspect of the branch that does not bear fruit. The branch that does not bear fruit is a very amazing type of branch. Why? This branch looks like, smells like, and behaves like all the other branches. This branch, if you don't look carefully, you would think it belongs to the vine. Because this branch knows how to talk. This branch looks green. This branch looks healthy. But this branch is a different type of branch. And you're asking me, what type of a Christian is this? This is a type of a Christian, in inverted commas, who looks like, who talks like, and who acts like a true disciple of Jesus. I want you to hear me good this morning. This is a type of Christian who does everything that is expected or that every other Christian and disciple of Jesus does. The only difference is that this type of Christian is everything but a true disciple of Jesus. This type of Christian cannot produce any fruit. I'll call this person a pseudo-Christian. A nominal Christian, a professing Christian, but not practicing Christian. I want you to hear me good this morning. Coming to church doesn't make you and I a disciple of Jesus. Growing in church doesn't make you and I disciples of Jesus. Because there are many people that tell me that I was born a Christian. But when you look at their lives, they do not produce the fruit of a believer. Now, because they are not a disciple of Jesus, I want you to hear me good. Because they are not a disciple of Jesus, they cannot bear the fruit of a disciple. They cannot produce the fruit expected of the branch because they do not have the life of Jesus in them. A pseudo-Christian can fellowship with Jesus, but will not be able to produce a Christ-like life. Why? Because they are not born again. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you born again? Have you opened your life to Jesus? Now, take note. It is impossible to be truly saved and yet fail to produce the fruit of the Spirit. I want to say that again. It is impossible for one who is truly born again and yet they fail to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the husbandman, the farmer, does routine inspections around the vineyard, looking for fruit. Now, opposed to me and you, the vine dresser looks beyond the appearance of a branch and looks for fruit. I can look at the appearance and I say, wow, an amazing believer. I can even make you a leader in the church. But the vine dresser knows each one of us. Hallelujah. You see, a disciple of Jesus cannot continue in the same sin without feeling convicted by the Spirit of Jesus. It's a travesty of theology for any born-again child of God to continue in sexual sin and not feeling convicted by the Holy Spirit if that person is born again. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Now, if you struggle to bear fruit of the Spirit, it could be an indication that you're just a nominal Christian who has never opened his heart or her heart to Jesus. Because anybody that has been touched by the Spirit of Jesus, there's a transformation that takes place in the inside person. Hallelujah. You cannot remain the same. You see, you can come to Jesus as you are, but you'll not remain as you are. Hallelujah. I can come as I am. But when I'm in the presence of Jesus and the resurrection power of Jesus is at work inside of me, I will be changed from the inside out. Now, there are consequences attached to being a pseudo-Christian. The consequence is that the vine dresser will remove the branches that do not bear fruit. The vine dresser will allow temptation to come that you won't be able to handle. The vine dresser will allow church discipline to come and to remove the branches that do not bear fruit. You'll understand why I'm very strong on this. Because if you are truly born again, it means naturally you are a branch that came out of the vine. It means that every child of God should be able to produce a level of spiritual fruit. Every child of God should be able to say, no, I cannot continue like this. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin so that grace might abound? Now, there's a behavior that is expected of a natural branch that comes out of the vine that is Jesus Christ. And that branch, secondly, we're talking about the branch that bears fruit. The branch that bears fruit. You need to ask yourself, how come I'm not able to produce this type of fruit? Now, Jesus here talks about another branch that bears fruit and says here, this branch, the vine dresser does not cut away, but the vine dresser exposes this branch to another type of treatment. It is called pruning. It is called pruning. He says, and everyone that bears fruit, he prunes it. For what reason? So that it may bring more fruit. So that it may bring more fruit. Allow me to say this. Every mango branch will produce mangoes of different quantities, isn't it? Every mango branch will produce some level of fruit. The Bible talks about a sower who goes out and he plants seed. And then one of the seeds fall on fertile ground. And the Bible says this seed will produce 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So in other words, we will not produce on the same level of production. But based on the grace of God over your life, you will produce either 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold. But there will be fruit. If you are born again, the influence of the Holy Spirit will enable you to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of holiness. I do not think a truly born again believer will remain selfless. In other words, it remains in a selfish state where you're just thinking about yourself. Everything is about yourself. No, when you are born again, there's a time in your life where you realize I don't live for myself because my Lord did not live for himself. Glory be to God. And therefore, there is a change that is expected. It might not be as quick, but there's a transformation that happens in terms of our fruit, in terms of the magnitude of our fruit. 1 John 5, verse 4 to 5. The Bible says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If you are born of God, you will overcome the world. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody this morning? If you are truly born again, you have opened up your heart to Jesus, you will overcome selfishness. You will overcome rage and anger in your life. You know, it is so important for you to realize that a branch does not struggle to bear fruit. I don't know, have you ever heard of a branch screaming when it's about to give birth to natchez? No. It does it naturally. The branch produces natchez because it's a natchy tree. There are things that should happen to us naturally. I'm saying naturally in inverted commas now, because you are a born again child of God. You have the Spirit of Jesus in you. People must be able to say, this girl, 3 years ago, it was either her way or no way. But now, this girl is loosening up. This girl now understands that it's not always her way. What's going on here? The Spirit of Jesus is working in you, changing you. The Bible says, be thou transformed by the renewal of your mind. If you struggle to let go of certain things, maybe let's go back to the beginning. Are you truly born again? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Glory be to God. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe with all my heart, it's impossible for a truly born again child of God to remain in a state of rage perpetually. That which is born of God overcomes the world. And if you are in that place right now where you feel like there is a sin in my life that is not getting off, you've got to get into a certain dimension of engaging the vine. Now, it is through our fruit that people around us can get to know God and be drawn towards God. And Jesus speaks about this. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, he says here, a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So if somebody is not born again, don't expect the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. If you see sinners sinning, they're simply doing what comes naturally to them. When a child of God produces righteous acts, we mustn't be surprised. We must say, well, that is what they should do because she is a child of God. It then becomes a problem when a dirty fountain produces clean water. It cannot be. When the fountain is clean, the river will be clean. It continues producing clean water. It replenishes the river. And I want to say to you this morning, if you are a born-again child of God, you have the life of Jesus in you, hallelujah. You should be able to look at certain things in your life and say, no, this is strange in my life because I am not of that. I am born again. I have the Spirit of Jesus in me. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Now, are you born again or not? You see, I've come to a place where we mustn't just think it's obvious. No. If we are struggling to produce the fruit of the Spirit, could it be that we are not rightly connected with the vine? Now, Jesus doesn't leave us to guess. I could have gone to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But in this chapter 15, Jesus gives us an insight on some of the fruit that you should expect. Now, what are some of the fruit that are expected by the vine dresser as he does his routine inspection? And I believe right now as I'm talking, the vine dresser is doing an inspection in our hearts. He's looking and is saying, we need to deal with this branch. This branch is a pseudo-Christian. You need Jesus in your life. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, number one. So one of the fruit that is expected by the vine dresser is a trust that prompts prayerfulness. The vine dresser is looking for a fruit called prayer in the life of the branches. And when the vine dresser does not see prayer in the branches, he gets concerned. Because a believer of Jesus and a disciple of Jesus and a follower of Jesus should be given to prayerfulness. It is a byproduct of the vine. You see what I'm talking about? If you look at John 15 verse 7, says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask. There's an expectation for every branch that is truly of Jesus to be in a state of prayerfulness. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. So a praying branch is one of the fruits that the vine dresser looks out for. Not only being prayerful, but effective and fervent prayer is a fruit that the vine dresser looks for. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you one of those branches that detest prayer? You see, I want you to know the Bible talks about you produce of yourself. And the vine produces of itself. It is in the nature of the vine to pray. I'm talking about Jesus. It is in the nature of Jesus to pray. when Jesus was on earth, he prayed. And right now, as we are talking, he is seated on the right-hand side of the Father, doing what? Praying. Therefore, naturally, the vine dresser expects this fruit called prayer in every branch that comes out of the vine. And I want to ask you a question this morning. If there is no prayer going on in your life and you do not enjoy times of prayer, what is going on? You see, anyone that is born of Jesus, the vine, loves prayer. Why? Because the vine prays. You see, everything that the branch has comes from the vine. So, in as much as naturally speaking, if there is life flowing through the vine, the branches will have life. And I'm saying to you this morning, there is prayer running in the veins of the vine. Why is there no prayer in my life? Now, you find that there might be prayer, but it is limited prayer. I want to go somewhere with that. Because I believe today I'm talking predominantly to the branches that have been brought forth by the vine. But the vine dresser is looking for prayer and abundant prayer, but he's finding limited prayer. How much prayer is going on? Now, I want you to realize that because there's a little bit of prayer, because you wake up and pray for a minute, well done. But the vine dresser says, there should be more here because where you are coming from, there's abundant prayer. So you are then subjected to a different treatment. You are not cut off. What the vine dresser does, he looks at my life and says, we need to do something to ensure that there is more praying fruit that comes out of this branch. We'll go to that later on. Secondly, the second fruit that Jesus or the vine dresser expects is a willingness to obey the commands of Christ. You see, a willingness to obey commands. This is a fruit that is expected from every branch that comes out of the vine. In verse 10 of John 15, Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the vine dresser is looking for the fruit of obedience in every branch. This is because the vine himself was given to the highest level of obedience. The Bible tells us how Jesus obeyed his Father to the point of death. Therefore, naturally speaking, the farmer expects the same fruit. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Do we find it easy to obey commands? Jesus says, if you love me, you will follow my commands. And when you follow my commands, my Father and I will come and create an abode within you. In other words, when there's commandment obedience in our heart, it attracts the Father himself. It attracts Jesus himself. And they come and they take over your life. Jesus obeyed. You see, obedience is a higher dimension of fruitfulness. Because through obedience, all other fruit flows. Now, is the Lord Jesus only your Savior, or he's also the Lord? Because it's okay, he's my Savior, but I run my life. I do what I like. I just do what I want to do. Nobody can tell me what to do. And that's an area that needs to die in our hearts, where we are able to submit ourselves. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore under the mighty arm of the Lord. And Jesus did that. I want you to know that obedience triggers an avalanche of blessings in the life of a believer. Because when you're obedient to Jesus, He is able to trust you with much. In the absence of obedience, I cannot trust you. How can I trust you with more authority as a pastor when you cannot obey simple instructions? How much more with the Father this morning? And this is a fruit, saints, that must naturally come. There must come a time in my life where I must say, Lord, I lay down my life to your word. Whatever your word says, I will do. The Lord Jesus, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see the highest level of obedience and submission to the Father, where three times he pleaded with the Father, say, Father, if it is possible, may this cup pass me by. But then he says, it is for this reason that I come. Not my will, but your will be done. Obedience is a fruit expected in a branch coming out of the vine. Another fruit that the vine dresser looks for when he's coming in the fields and looking and inspecting, it is a deep love for God's people. A deep love for God's people. What is love? The Bible says God is love. If you look at John 15 verse 12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You are the branch coming out of the vine. There must be a tint, there must be an element of love in our hearts, where we become selfless, where we look out for another. You see, your greatest gift to God, the vine dresser, would be to love his people like he does. Your greatest gift to Father God is to love his people like he does. You see, when you look at the life of Jesus, you'll understand what love is. Because the Bible says, what manner of love is this? That a man would lay down his life for his friends. And in this church, we need much of these fruits. Hallelujah. Where we are able to love one another beyond ourselves. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Maybe we don't love ourselves. That is why we can't love another. Now, because God loved, he gave his only son. When you love, you give sacrificially. And I want to ask you a question. In the recent past, what have you given that left you feeling, I have done it sacrificially? What have you done that has costed you something? Because as for Jesus, it costed him his life. He laid down his life for you and I. Whom have you laid down your life for? The fruitful branch is not cut away. But a fruitful branch receives TLC. You know what TLC is? Tender love and care. In the form of pruning, in the form of cutting away anything that prohibits my fruitfulness, anything that prohibits your fruitfulness, the Father, the vine dresser, will come with the scissors and he cuts away. You see, you might have great fellowship with Jesus, but certain habits negate the impact of your fellowship with Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, Isn't it easier to just shed off those things before the Father comes with his scissors and cuts away certain things? And saying there are some things in our lives that are happening today because the Father knows you are a real branch, but there's stuff in your life that has stopped fruitfulness. And I want you to know that God is an amazing investor. He invests in the garden. He invests in the soil. And he's expecting much fruit. But when he walks around, he sees no fruit. But he knows you are for real. So what he does, he starts inspecting our lives and says, this we're going to take away. This friendship, we're going to cut it away. In this season, we're going to allow just a little bit less money to come into your life so that you can clearly see that it's not about money, it's about Jesus. Does somebody hear me this morning? Pruning will happen in order to produce more in your life. Put this down. Fruitfulness is a result of abiding in the vine. Fruitfulness is a result of abiding in the vine. And I want you to know that the pruning process will continue until the day we enter heaven. Because none of us will ever reach perfection whilst we are on this side of life. The Father will continue pruning us. The Father will continue increasing the standard in our lives. You find that as you grow in the Lord, there are some things that will no longer be acceptable. Why? Because you're getting closer and closer to the glory of Jesus. Then he says, this cannot enter into this space. So when you are young as a believer, there are some things that are okay you can do. But as you grow in his glory, what was okay yesterday will not be okay today. That is why the tabernacle had three sections. There was a place in the outer court where people can just come. Strangers would come with all sorts of things and there would be no consequence. And there is a type of relationship of the outer court. But as you draw closer and closer to the glory of God, you enter into the holy place. A few could enter the holy place where the priests would give sacrifices. And then there was a third dimension called the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was found. Only the high priest could enter therein. And even the high priest himself had to be very careful how he entered into the Holy of Holies because he could be struck dead. And saints, I'm saying to you this morning, as you grow with the Lord, as you grow in your fruitfulness, there will be more pruning. Where the Lord will say, that way of talking to your husband is not allowed in the Holy of Holies. That way of responding to my word cannot be allowed in this space. What's going on here? The Father wants more fruit. Because the more fruit we produce, the more glory goes to him. When you abide in him, we are talking about permanently staying, continuing, remaining in that place of fellowship with Jesus. This talks about being fully dependent on Christ. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, if you abide in Christ and his word abide in you, you'll produce more fruit. There is something of the Spirit that takes place in the life of the believer who fellowships with Jesus on a daily basis. It means that there's no area in your life that Jesus has no say over. Abide in me and I in you. For without me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus says. I'm talking about a living fellowship. A fellowship that enables us to produce the type of fruit that is expected by the vine. What is your story this morning? Are you the branch that is not bearing fruit at all? The reason why that branch is cut off, it means that branch was never meant to be there. But you are the branch that is producing maybe at 20%. And the Father is saying, you can do more. You can produce more. We spoke about three types of fruit. We spoke about the fruit of prayer in your life. How much praying is going on today? How much praying is going on in the church? And my heart is burdened about each one of us. I carry you in my heart in prayer. But I'm asking, are you praying for yourself? How much praying is happening in our homes? Secondly, he says, obey my commands. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We can sacrifice everything, but in the absence of obedience, it means not much. And lastly, how much love do we have for one another? When there is pain next door, do we feel the pain? When there's joy next door, do we feel the joy?